eternal judgment. These are important Bible doctrines that come out of creation. Eternal judgment. And of course, that's the logical result of the lordship of Jesus. Because God owns everything, He has the right to determine its use and to judge if it's used properly, the way He determined. Because we are God's property, He alone has the final say how we live. And He'll judge us for it. It's His standards that matter. Our next subpoint, a proper view of man. Because God created man in His image, He's not a biochemical machine. Francis, how you doing? Come on down. We're where we left off. No problem, dude, no problem. The fill-in you missed is eternal judgment. Eternal judgment. J-U-D. Which is what you'll get next week if you're late. But this week, anything goes. Because God created man in His image, He's not a biochemical machine or a little god. So when man rejects God, he's forced to explain his existence. And it becomes very challenging. There's only real two categories, only two possibilities. There's the scientific approach, supposed scientific. That means all he is matter and energy. Then there's the mystical approach, and all he is some kind of spirit. So he's either just a bag of chemicals or a little god. We're all gods, all part of the oneness of God. Now, if you pick choice number one, matter and energy, then you got problems. How do you have any kind of justice system if people are just the result of chemicals firing off in their brain? How can you punish someone for immoral, illegal behavior? Actually, those terms become nonsensical. They have no meaning. What's morality to a rock? To chemicals. Yeah? If we spilled some chemicals up here on the floor, we wouldn't talk about the morality of those chemicals. Are they doing right or wrong? Those words become meaningless now. So how do you create a legal system based on that? I'm quoting Francis Crick. Crick is one of the founders, discoverers of DNA. Brilliant scientist, but a radical evolutionist who takes it to its logical conclusion. He says there is no way that the evolutionary process can make beings that are truly free to make choices. Choice becomes an illusion. You think you're making a choice, but it's simply a neuron that's firing in a particular way because another neuron fired in another way, and one before that, and one before that, and it's just this complex biochemical machine. That's all we're left with. Now, if you take the other choice, we're all little gods, then you get the mystical New Age version. M. Scott Peck, who's an internationally known author, The Road Less Traveled, probably his most famous book, he said the goal of all spiritual growth is the attainment of godhood by the conscious self. The individual is to become totally holy God. We are God, little God. But a proper view of creation, then you see a God who delighted in His creation, a creation that is good, which frees us from a Gnostic view of the natural world and enables us to enjoy the things God has provided for us. It's interesting in 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul, and this is the main thing that is emphasized, Paul talks about the love of money, right? You're all familiar with that verse. The love of money is a root of all sorts of evil, as a warning. But then just after that, a verse that's not often quoted, is it's God who richly furnishes us with everything to enjoy. You see, that's a fuller picture of the God of creation, who everything He made is good. And it's made for our enjoyment. Now be careful that it doesn't control you. The love of money is a danger. But once you get that taken care of, now freely enjoy what He has richly provided for you. Don't feel guilty about enjoying the great privileges and benefits and blessings that God has given to us of a material nature. So we start to get a right view of man and a right view of life, a view that is very life-affirming. And see, this becomes very attractive to the world, because the world has a tendency to think Christianity is about the stuff you can't do. But the reality is Christianity is about the stuff that you get to do without guilt, to really, truly enjoy. That's very attractive to lost people who don't want to become Christians because they think they're going to have to give up certain pleasures. No, becoming a Christian is to begin to experience pleasure like you never knew was possible before. That's real Christianity. That's a proper view of creation. All things richly to enjoy. And we enjoy it with all our heart. And the world is jealous because we have more fun than they do. That's a good day. We're continuing. Another one, an accurate understanding of the natural world. Because God was responsible for creating everything, no segment of creation lacks spiritual significance. So what that tells us then is the environment is the responsibility of the Christians. We should be the ones championing environmental concerns. But generally, who is it that are the most vocal about environmental concerns? Bojo? Yeah, exactly. The New Age, right? And they do it out of a theological perspective, because the earth is Gaia, right? The earth mother, a being, a spiritual entity. And we're all a part of this earth spirit. And so when we pollute, we hurt ourselves. But it should be the Christians. We should be in the vanguard of environmental concerns from a different perspective, because our concern is stewardship. See, God is going to ask us questions, not just about our personal morality. He's going to ask us, what did we do with the stuff He gave us? And He gave us the planet and all of its resources. And so we're going to have to give an account to God for what we did with His planet, the resources He provided for us. So a proper view of creation puts Christians as the one leading the green movement, but not to exalt Gaia, but to give an account to the creator of the universe. What a different approach. Our last thoughts here on creation is it provides proper ethnic relationships. We talked about racism last session. Because every family in heaven and earth derives its name from the Father, there's a real basis for the brotherhood of man. See, everybody talks, right? The brotherhood of man. Yeah? They have the Miss Universe pageant, right? And they're supposed to give their speech, right? What are they interested in? Universal peace. The brotherhood of man. Can we all just love one another and get along? No. No, no, we can't. There's no possibility. Apart from an understanding of God is the creator of all things. And any violation of you is an attack of the image of God. When I lash out at you, either verbally or physically, it's because I hate God. I hate His image, and I want to destroy it. And so it's only through a proper understanding and accountability to our Creator that we can really begin to see no distinctions between individuals and become genuinely colorblind. Only through the gospel and only through a real understanding of creation. You see, all the doctrines that begin to flow out of a proper understanding of creation. All right, let's conclude this section with the most controversy of all. Joseph is going to be sad that he's not here for controversy. He loves a good controversy. How many up for some good controversy? Ready for it? Let's talk about providence. Providence, okay? Now, it's a word that's not in Scripture. The word is not in Scripture, but the doctrine is on every page. And this doctrine has produced substantial disagreement among Christians since early church history. Christians have been fighting about this for almost 2,000 years. So it is ultimately a strong potential for some controversy here this afternoon. So, the ancient Greeks could never solve this primary issue. What rules the universe? And there were two different philosophical schools. There was a group that said the universe was ruled by chance. Everything was random. One philosopher said, you can never step in the same river twice because everything's in a constant state of motion and change. The river that you stepped in one time is a different river. Now, chance, chaos is king. Another group said, no, fate rules the universe. Everything happens because of a preordained fate. It happens to me because the gods or the whatever your particular version of it is, it happened that way. It had to happen. Yeah, Paul. F-A-T-E. Not F-A-I-T-H. F-A-T-E. Yeah. The Fates were three Greek goddesses. And what they would do is when someone was born, they would begin weaving a tapestry. And when the last stitch of the tapestry was finished by the three sisters, you would die. And as they're weaving your tapestry, it's a picture of your life. Whatever they're weaving is what's happening to you in your life. And so nothing's an accident. Everything happens because of fate. And these are diametrically opposed. And the Greeks and their philosophy could not figure out how those two could come together. It's actually one of the reasons that the ancient classical Greek thought began to break down because of that conflict. And the ultimate answer is, there is no answer to that dilemma apart from the gospel. A lot of different movies to try to deal with it. Did you see The Adjustment Bureau that came out recently? Interesting. It's a 21st century twist on this ancient Greek fight between, is our life determined by fate or by chance? And of course, if you know the end of that movie, spoiler alert, but in the end, no, you have to listen, Dar. That's your fault. Shame on you. In the end, man, individual, sort of controls God and changes his mind, which is just a beautiful 21st century take on this ancient philosophical challenge. Forrest Gump. You seen the movie Forrest Gump? The whole movie is trying to figure out the answer to this philosophical question. And of course, there's one point when Forrest Gump gives the ultimate answer that the Greek philosophers could never accomplish. He said, it's both. And the movie ends, you may not figure out, understand why, at the end of the movie there's a little feather that floats down and then just begins to float away. You see, what is that all about? It's just random chance. It's just floating wherever chance comes. So there's no answer to the question. And the solution, there's only one solution, and the rational West has never been able to accept the one and only solution, which it's the Bible solution. The Bible solution is that God is sovereignly in charge of all events in the universe. All events in the universe. Even if you pick up a set of dice and you roll them, say, well, it's just chance, there's odds. That's not the doctrine of providence. God's involved in every aspect of the universe. The Bible says that even the lot belongs to the Lord. You know what the lot is? It's basically, there's names in a bucket who gets picked. This morning, our admin, they did public speaking. We'd given them 2 weeks. And we had their little names wrapped up, so I couldn't see it, in a little bowl. And I would say before I start, let's see who God wants to hear from next. Because the lot is the Lord's. And whatever I pick, God is going to take credit. He said, that was my choice. So God's sovereignly in charge of all events in the universe. That's what the Bible teaches. And the Bible teaches that men make significant choices. Real choices. You say, wait a minute, that's a contradiction. Yes, it is. But it's true. The Bible teaches that men have free choice. They make decisions that are real decisions, real moral choices. But the Bible also teaches that God is responsible sovereignly for all events in the universe. You think the Trinity blew your mind? Get ready, the smoke is going to come out. That's the Bible answer. Let's look at it a little bit more in depth. Joseph, I'm glad you got back for this part because this is a little controversial and you love a little controversy, don't you? The doctrine of providence contains the following three ideas: continual involvement, ultimate destination, and absolute control. Okay? At any time you're confused or want to challenge or ask a question, please do. Let's just make this fun, okay? Any questions so far, Joseph?
Just saying, even the senior leaders had a lot of questions about this, so don't...
Oh, yeah, they're all still freaking out.
It's actually. So it's all right, okay? If you're really stuck on it, it's helpful to the class to discuss it.
We doing okay? Anna, you all right? You got any thoughts? No, nothing to say? Surprised. I expected you'd just be real chatty. Number two, we're going to look at those three ideas. Continual involvement. God is actively related to and involved in the creation at every moment. He upholds all creation. Now, secular people like to talk about the laws of nature. In reality, there is no such thing as the laws of nature. The laws of nature are just our description of God providentially upholding His universe. And the only reason why the same chemical reaction or the same experiment works twice and three times and multiple times is because God providentially ensures that it does and upholds that. So there's no kind of neutral like laws out there that God is subjected to. That's an illusion and a secular way of thinking. The only reason why if I were to drop these papers now, the only reason they'll fall to the ground is not because there's a law of gravity, but it's because God is upholding His creation actively at all times. He is directing the affairs of the universe at all times. Colossians 1 says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. The reason why we don't all just fly up to the top of this ceiling right now is not because of a neutral, there's a law of gravity. No, there's a providential God. And He is fulfilling His purpose by actively engaging in every activity in the universe at the same time. That's a big job, isn't it? It's an amazing God to think that every single activity in the universe, every chemical reaction, everything that's happening, every thought, every neuron firing off in our heads, God's actively involved, continually involved in His creation. That's one heck of a supercomputer that can keep track of all of that. So God causes all things to maintain the properties with which He created them. So why does this podium not all of a sudden turn into cheese? Because of the laws of nature. No, because God is upholding the characteristics and enabling this to maintain the characteristic that He originally gave to it. Paul, how are you doing with this? Your brow is wrinkling. You are struggling over there. What are your thoughts? Mesmerized?
I'm just mesmerized by the power of God. Well, actually, what I'm thinking is that God being omnipresent and God being... What's the other word for power?
Omnipotent, yeah.
God being omnipresent and omnipotent... Only proves that He is active in everything that He does. Because if He's everywhere and He is powerful, then He can be active in everything. And He upholds everything.
Yeah, everything. So how many have a car? Automobile. With gas in it. The only reason you're confident that that car will run, it's not because there's gas in it. It always works that way. It's because God's providence sustains the universe. The universe in which He created. And it maintains the properties with which He created them. That gasoline will maintain those properties and still do what it's supposed to do in that engine because God is providentially upholding the characteristics of that gasoline. What a fascinating thought. He's a lot more involved than we thought He was in every aspect of life. Now, number three, the second aspect of providence is ultimate destination. Ultimate destination. God directs all things to accomplish His purpose. All things to accomplish His purpose. Does that mean that everything that happens is God's will? No, it wasn't God's will that you sinned last week. That wasn't His will. However, ultimate destination says that God so directs all things that His ultimate purposes will be accomplished. In spite of everything that we try to do to mess it up, His ultimate purpose will be accomplished. Everything is leading toward the conclusion He planned long ago. The Westminster Confession says it this way: the decrees of God are His eternal purpose, according to the counsel of His will, whereby for His own glory He has foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. But remember, at the same time, men make real choices. Real choices. But God has foreordained everything that comes to pass. But we make real choices. How are you doing so far? Number four, absolute control. Absolute control. God is in complete control of the universe. Everything that happens, at least in the ultimate sense, happens for His purpose. Daniel chapter 4, His dominion's an eternal dominion. His kingdom endures from generation to generation. He does according to His will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say to Him, "What are you doing?" So, a person takes action, but God overrules. Things that are done go against God's will of command, yet they fulfill His will of events. The theologians use two different phrases there. His will of command, in other words, He doesn't command you to sin. You make free choices. But regardless of those choices, they still end up fulfilling His ultimate will. That's why the Proverbs or the Psalm says, the wrath of man will praise Him. Even man's wrathful, sinful choices, in the end, it's to His glory. He causes even those things to work together for His ultimate purpose and plan. Humans mean what they do for evil. They make real evil choices. Yet God overrules and uses their actions for good. At least in an ultimate sense. The good of His glory and His ultimate purpose being accomplished. Humans under God's ruling authority, they sin. Yet God is not the author of sin. Just pause for a moment. Let it sink in a little bit. How you doing? Jay, what are you thinking? What are you thinking about?
Yeah, I was just thinking, when you say men make significant choices, then and when you said the lot is the Lord's, then all the things that I will choose, it's all good.
Not if you choose to sin. Have you ever sinned?
A lot of times.
Don't get too specific here. I just more of a,
yeah.
More of a general question.
Yes.
Yeah.
You made a choice mm-hmm. to sin when you sinned, right? Was God the author of that choice?
No.
No. So he doesn't, he's not responsible for sin. Mm-hmm. And yet, in the ultimate sense, he superintends and overrules all events. Mm-hmm. What's that making you think?
It's clear to me now.
What?
It's clear to me now.
It is? Yeah. Then just explain it to me then. Go ahead, Jay. Explain it to me.
Yeah.
You want to come down here?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I make choices, and yeah? It depends. It's like taking a blue or red pill, something like that.
Yeah, no, not really. Not really, but I understand your metaphor. Mm. Tony, what are you thinking? David, hand him the mic. That was a really good answer. Tony, don't just think about it. Go ahead and do it. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking about how powerful God really is. I can understand as God is working, he's working through all the believers, all the Christians. All things are working for our good. I understand that. But
yeah.
Those who don't believe him, everything that they are doing, he has a purpose for that.
Yeah.
So that's something that just blows my mind.
Yeah, good. Joey?
It just reminds me that even if I make stupid choices in life, at the end of the day, God's ultimate purpose prevails. So
yeah.
Whatever bad I do, in the end, it's going
His
to be great.
His ultimate purpose. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Pastor Paul, I was just reminded of my kids used to ask me about Lucifer.
Yeah.
You know, when he fell down from heaven. So they were asking me, so was it really the choice of God? So if that was the choice of God, then how come the reason why there are bad people right now. So, I answered
them.
Your
children, you said, were thinking? Your children?
Yeah.
Your own natural?
Yes.
How old were they?
They are 12 and 15.
Okay.
And I just told them, well, I don't really know the answer, but I believe God has a purpose for it. But, you know.
So what's your answer now if they ask you the question?
Let's worship God. Well, in reality, there are still students that we, you know, there are still questions in their mind that
sure.
they might ask us.
Why? Why did this happen?
Yeah. Why?
Did God
why
let
did
this
that?
Happen to me?
Why did that? Why did God allow that to happen?
Yeah.
So yeah. What could be the, you know.
Just tell them worship God. Bojo?
I think one of the dilemmas why man struggles with this nature of God or trying to comprehend how God works in this way is because rational thinking of man, it's always either or.
Yeah.
It's God. It's either God is sovereign or man has free will. And it's hard for man to comprehend that God can be sovereign at the same time allow man to freely make his own choice. But on the other side of the coin, reality is, based on scripture,
tell us what to do.
Hello. Yeah, all right. So I think on the other side of the coin, it's trying, not really trying to comprehend, but getting a little glimpse of knowing that God is sovereign. At the same time, he allows man to make his own choices, but still works it all out under his sovereign will. Which is, of course, it's hard to comprehend because of man's logic and thinking, but reality, that's how God works. So...
You're okay with it?
Yeah.
It's good. Yeah, Eva. I think it's on. No, maybe it's not.
Pastor Paul, I'm just thinking if my thinking is right. Because in the beginning, God created everything, and he gave over the authority to rule the earth to man. Right?
Keep talking.
And that's... And even the Bible would talk about how this world is not is ruled by the devil.
Okay.
And for me, my understanding is that the rulership is given to man, and so that's why the earth is this messy, because it's given to man.
Yeah.
That's why I think my reconciliation of how the kingdom of God would come on earth is by man giving it back to God again. That's why intercession is needed. That's why prayer is needed. Because if ultimately God will do what he thinks he wants to do, then we don't need to pray, we don't need to do anything, right? But every time the Bible would give us something to do, like God would ask us something to do. And that's how I would reconcile it, because ultimately we need to advance the kingdom of God here on earth, because it's not yet here on earth.
Yeah.
That's how I reconcile it.
Eva, that's some good thinking. Let's keep the microphone. Let's just talk to you. What do you guys think about what Eva had to say? Anybody? She's given a different alternative. So the view that she's presenting is... God turned over the earth to man, so in a sense, God's not providentially involved in the affairs. What's happening is happening because men have the authority, and then because men sinned, I guess, the devil is now the ruler, right? That's the point that you're making. So can you, like, devil...
Yeah, that's why I'm trying to...
Where'd you get those ideas?
I read it from books. I read it from the Bible. It's all over the Bible.
Really?
How God gave over.
If it's all over, it'd be easy to give me one verse. So give me one.
Like in Genesis, how God said the dominion, rule over the earth, multiply. Yeah.
Does he say, I'm no longer going to be involved?
It's not there. Yeah. No. That's why I'm trying to reconcile it. How those
and the devil, when did he get together? In charge? Where's that in the Bible? Anybody?
The kingdom of...
He's
no,
the
aside
what?
From that, there's the verse about principalities and all.
What's a principality? Does that...
Involving spiritual warfare.
And so that means that he's in charge of the earth?
No, not really. Yeah, the prince of this world.
Is now cast out. That's what Jesus said. The prince of this world comes to me. He has nothing in me. And now is he cast out. That's the verse? Yeah. Cast out. So that's probably not going to help us.
There's another verse also saying the God of this world.
I was hoping you'd get to that so we could destroy that idea. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Unfortunately, there are the reality, there are two Greek words that are translated world. There's the word cosmos and the word aeon, and they have two very different meanings. So when Paul calls him the God of this world, it's the God of this age, the God of this time. What aeon means is the worldview, the mentality of the inhabitants of the world. Very wrong to think that the devil has any authority or is in charge of the world. It's always been God's. And even when he delegated to man, it's not that he checked out, or he didn't delegate to man the responsibility to uphold the universe. He gave man a very specific responsibility under his prevailing oversight of the universe. That would be to make to take dominion and to rule over the plants and the animals, etc., to bring order into the kingdom that he had created as sort of a co-worker with him. But there's no hint that God gives it over, the devil's in charge, and now the world is bad because it's really the devil that's running things. And someday maybe God, he'd like to get involved in the world and he'd like to help, but the problem is he can't because people aren't praying enough. I really hope that the future of the universe is not predicated on how much Christians are praying. Because let me just tell you, we're screwed if that's the case. It's over if that's the case. Yeah. Eva, keep talking, because I'm glad you brought these things up. I appreciate it.
No, I'm just thinking, so you're saying that there's just a portion of the thing that God told Adam to rule over the earth. It's just like just a portion like that.
No, I'm saying to extrapolate from that passage that now man is the ruler of the world, and then, of course, the devil, because of sin, is taking that passage and taking the Bible too far.
Okay.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. It's all his. He upholds all things. The devil's authority or rulership is over the minds of men and women that give themselves to him. But God, even in that, God's got the devil on a leash. So he overrules and superintends everything. But the teaching that you're talking about is fairly common. I've taught it myself. Trying to recall all those old tapes. But it's this mentality that most of the things that happen in the world are not God's will, because God's not in charge anymore, the devil is. Now, the reality is, bad things that happen, we're not saying, okay, we prayed for someone, they've got small kids, and they die. Well, it must have been God's will, because everything that happens is God's will. No, when a little child is raped by someone, well, it was just God's will. God willed that he would be raped in that situation. No, of course not. No, but the doctrine of providence says that ultimately all things are moving towards God's end and his purpose. And that he takes no responsibility for sin, but he takes responsibility ultimately for the outworkings of all the events in the universe. In spite of our sins, it still all works together for good. Does that help you a little bit?
Yes.
Keep going.
Yeah, I'm just trying to reconcile.
No, good. I'm so glad you asked.
The fact that God is sovereign, and the fact that we have given authority, and the fact that we have choice. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a difficult concept.
So ultimately, it's seeing it in light of God's ultimate greater purpose, or sovereign purpose.
Yeah. Now, there's two main classes of doctrines. There's doctrines of reason, ones that, as we hear them taught, that makes sense. Then there's doctrines of revelation. They cannot make sense. Actually, they violate all natural logic. So the Trinity is a doctrine of reason. Excuse me, revelation. Yeah, thank you. God cannot be three and one at the same time. Violates the law of the excluded middle, the law of non-contradiction. Right? the incarnation. Christ is fully God and fully man, 100% God, 100% man, in one person, united perfectly. You can't be two and one at the same time. Doctrine of revelation. God is sovereignly overseeing everything happens because of his ultimate will. Men have free choice and make real decisions. They don't fit together. That's a total doctrine of reason. We don't try to explain that because it can't be explained. The doctrines of revelation you proclaim, you don't explain. They cannot be explained. So you preach them and you proclaim them. And maybe you get a little bit insight of, I can see a little bit how those two work together, but ultimately we never will. We proclaim, yes, you have choice, and yes, you will do what God has ordained. In the end. You see? How's that helping you? Still confused?
Oh, it's good.
Follow-up thoughts, because you brought up some really great points. Like, what are the things that you're going to talk to your friend about when we're done here?
No, I'm now thinking about the advancement of God's kingdom.
Okay.
How in some places you just know it's, I guess God works in the lives, and yet there's a predominant, for example, spirit in that area.
Okay.
How, I'm thinking of a lot of things.
They're all coming at the same time, aren't they?
How there's a need to advance God's kingdom if God is sovereign.
Yeah. I know what you're thinking. So, okay, if God's got it all planned, why the heck am I working so hard?
Yes. So I'm trying to, yeah. Right. See where I fit in all.
In the end, God's ultimate purpose will be fulfilled, why the heck should I pray? And forget this witnessing stuff. God is going to do it his way eventually anyway, right?
So we can say that's his way. His way is to use humans.
That's one way. That's a good thought.
That's his perfect will to be partners with.
What the theologians call that secondary cause. The primary cause is God's providential will. The secondary cause is you, the preacher of the gospel, spoke God's word. But if God has everything planned, he's providentially in charge, why should we pray? Would you like me to tell you the answer? Dan wants to know. Let me tell you why we pray. Because the Bible commands us to pray. Oh, okay. He taught us to pray. So, does prayer really do things significantly? Yes, absolutely. If nobody prayed, would God's purpose still happen? Absolutely. You're freaking me out. Yeah, Joseph? Thank you, Eva, for bringing that up. I took some courage, but I appreciate you doing
I think,
that.
Like what you said yesterday, if it's bothering you, that means you're getting it. If you think this is clear, then you don't really get the implications. But if this is bothering you right now, that's good.
Yeah, you're starting to get it. Yeah, yeah. I think a good thing to do right now would be to end. Yeah, I'm going to end. And I'm going to leave. When we come back, we'll talk about some of the challenges to this doctrine. But this will give you a little chance to let it settle in. Dar, you got a question, though. You got a question, comment? Someone get her a mic, please. Thank you, Jay. Appreciate you working so hard for us. Dar?
No, it just makes me think back to how... Because we always think, oh, okay, if we're always thinking, now, okay, if God is sovereign, then why am I here?
Yeah.
But it actually makes me think, I'm glad I'm here. The fact that God doesn't really need us to advance his kingdom makes me think, hey,
it's even better.
Yeah, it's even better because
he's using me.
Yeah, so that's just the thought that
good.
We always, because that's usually how people think, okay, why am I here then? But the fact that you're here, you should be thankful.
Yeah.
That's the thought that I have.
It's great. Well, that was good. That was a fun little time. And Joseph, thought, comment, question, end statement? Sorry. Robert?
I don't have a question. I just want to give a comment. Like, if you have all these questions, we can answer, like Paul, how Paul answered the one he wrote in the one of the pieces, who are you to ask that question? You know.
That's ultimately the answer. He said, you're just a lump of stupid clay. Who are you to question God's sovereignty? Yeah. Oh, it's a beautiful example. Here, Robert, you were late. Egregiously late, and yet God in his providential care and love made sure that the Cardinals won today for your vindication. All things work together for good. Joseph, last thought?
So next week we'll start with this.
Oh, I don't know. We'll just see how the Spirit leads me.
Yeah, so during the week also.
Write it down. Yeah,
it's
let's have some talk.
Really
great.
Depends on the Cardinals.
It's already sovereignly ordained. God bless y'all.